Allee, jokkel, stukkel. Ek sien wat jy bedoel, Kobus, dis leeg, nee. Seker omdat ek laas week nie hier was nie. Ja. Well, I don't know if they told you where we were, but we had the privilege of going on to the Freedom Road Rally. I got to preach there on the Saturday morning and preach on the Sunday evening in Barkers Church in Brackenfell in Cape Town. So we were not away on a holiday or a weekend off. We had to minister down there, and it was just a wonderful time of ministry and be able to spend time with those folks down there as well. So, but for those of you that are here this morning, God bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness. We're going to continue with our theme, and the theme what we've been speaking about the last couple of weeks is about fruitfulness. I'd just like to start off by recapping where I left off. Did you guys enjoy Jan's ministry about the altars? Interesting, eh? Very, very enjoyable about the good, and we got to share that, and I was able to receive and to be taught on Sunday, Thursday at the care group meeting. So it was wonderful just to hear what he spoke about, and I'm excited about that. But be that as it may, we speak about fruitfulness. We stopped and visited around verse 8 where Jesus speaks about bearing much fruit, and we see that God wants us to do everything in the spirit of excellence because he's a God of excellence. That's why there's a reason for much fruit, and shared with you that perfection is my goal, but excellence will be tolerated, and the kind of perfection we speak about is being complete and whole in Jesus. And then God has a certain kind of glory that is due to him specifically, not just any glory, but glory that is due to the Father, and it's our responsibility through our lifestyles to bring that kind of glory due to the Father. This week we're also going to pick up with the end part of verse 8 and see how far we can get. Is that okay? So as per usual, let's read from John 15, verse 1 to 17. I'm wondering if I can put somebody on the spot this morning. It seems as though there are less people here. Is there somebody that would like to read boldly, clearly, confidently that passage of Scripture for us? Any volunteers? Come on, not all at once. Daar sê. Jy moet even stadig lees, nee, Nikki. Ja, en vat jou tyd lekker as nee. Kom, ek geef jou die mic daar. Johannes, ja, 1 tot 17, daar sê op jou tyd, op jou eie tyd kan vier. Die is 100%, 100%.
Goed. Ek is die ware wynstok en my Vader is die landbouwer. Elke loot wat in my nie vrug dra nie, neem my weg. En elke loot wat vrug dra, die maak hy skoon, sodat dit meer vrug kan dra. Julle is al reeds rein deur die woord wat ek tot julle gespreek het. Bly in my soos ek in julle. Net soos die loot geen vrug kan dra van homself as dit nie in die wynstok bly nie, so julle ook nie as julle in my nie bly nie. Ek is die wynstok, julle is die lote. Wie in my bly en ek in hom, hy dra veel vrug, want sonder my kan julle niks doen nie. As iemand in my nie bly nie, word hy uitgewerp soos die loot en verdroog, en hulle maak dit by mekaar en gooi dit in die vuur en dit verbrand. As julle in my bly en my woorde in julle, sal julle vra nie wat julle wil hê, vra wat julle wil hê en julle sal dit verkry. Hierin is my Vader verheerlik, dat julle veel vrug dra en julle sal my disippels wees. Amen. Soos die Vader my lief gehad het, het ek julle ook lief gehad. Bly in hierdie liefde van my. As julle my gebooie bewaar, sal julle in my liefde bly. Net soos ek die gebooie van my Vader bewaar en in sy liefde bly. Dit het ek vir julle gesê, dat my blydskap in julle bly kan bly en julle blydskap volkome kan word. Dit is my gebod, dat julle mekaar moet lief hê, net soos ek julle lief gehad het. Groter liefde het niemand as dit nie, dat iemand sy lewe vir sy vriende gee. Julle is my vriende, as julle alles doen wat ek julle beveel. Ek noem julle nie meer diensknegte nie, omdat die diensknegte nie weet wat sy heer doen nie. Maar ek het julle vriende genoem, omdat ek alles wat ek van my Vader gehoor het, aan julle bekend gemaak het. Julle het my nie uitverkies nie, maar ek het julle uitverkies en julle aangestel om vrug te dra en dat julle vrug kan bly, sodat wat julle die Vader ook al in my naam vra, hy julle dit kan gee. Dit gebied ek julle, dat julle mekaar moet lief hê.
Excellent, baie, baie dankie. Wasn't that beautiful? Dis allemaal lekker te hoor in jou moedertaal, nee? Ja, lyk my julle is iets so daar opgewonde daar in. It sounds beautiful. Baie, baie, baie dankie, Nicoline. Thank you very, very much. That was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed that. There's just something about hearing the word of God spoken like that. It's absolutely beautiful. For though I'm sure you may or may not know, but you also get audio Bibles. So if you're traveling somewhere and you've got a headset in your helmet or in the car, you can have it in various formats where you can listen to the scripture all the time, being narrated by folks that read like that. It's really, really awesome to have if you're on a long trip and just have this going, the word of God going in your mind all the time. I've tried before when I'm like really tired. I've set myself a goal a while ago that I don't want to watch TV just for the sake of watching TV. I want to eat and then watch something, and then I'm finished eating, get up and do whatever. And I thought, if I'm tired, I can like lay in front of the TV on one of the Christian channels and just listen to what they're saying in the background. But I find it just keeps my mind so occupied that I can't sleep. So that doesn't work for me, having gospel in the background all the time. I just stay awake and like just meditate on this stuff. Okay. Be part of verse 8. So you will be my disciples. It's as if God is saying, there's a way that you're going to recognize my disciples. He says, do all the things abiding me, and so, like this, you will be my disciples. I want to paraphrase by saying, it's God saying, you will recognize my disciples by this. All of this talk, week after week after week, about fruitfulness. At the end of the day, what is it all actually about? Bearing fruit, what is it about? Is it about looking good and being effective as a Christian? Is it about having results that we can say, okay, God, this is the fruit that's in my life. This is what I'm doing in my life now. There's a bigger picture behind all of this. If you think of all the fruitfulness, and you think, if I just ask prompting questions this morning, it was asked of Jesus, wat is die groot gebod? Die grootste, belangrijkste gebod. Nou, gebod, that's right, nee. Wat is die grootste, belangrijkste gebod? You remember what Jesus said? What's the most important commandment? What is it that he said? Any ideas? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. At the end of the day, fruitfulness. Can it not all be summed up in that, in love? It's as if Jesus is saying this, you as my disciples will be recognized like this. John 13 and 35, Jesus says, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. All of this talk about fruitfulness can be summed up by saying, having love for one another. If you think about the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments is about a relationship with God. The rest of the six of the Ten Commandments, the other six, is about a relationship with people. And if you love people, those other commandments won't mean you love somebody. You can't say goed gaan besteel nie. You can't say vrou steel nie. You can't nie vermoor nie. If you love people, so then you can say, and that's why Jesus says all the law and all the prophets are tied up in these when he speaks about the great commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's it. If you love, so love covers all of these things. So bearing fruitfulness can be described as being recognized as a child of God, being recognized as a Christian by having love. What makes Christians unique in the world? I've shared this before. If you look at the similarities in our faith and other faiths, all their claims to fame and the things that they claim are legit about their beliefs, very, very similar. You could say Christianity is similar to those things. What makes us unique? There are several things that make us unique, but having an unconditional love is the thing that's going to change the world, people. And I think at the end of the day, striving for fruitfulness, we run the risk of becoming results-orientated instead of trying to love like Jesus did. Trying to love others like Jesus did. By this you will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. A characteristic of a disciple is that they bear much fruit, the fruit of love. If my going to church and doing courses and Bible studies does not make me more like Jesus, why am I doing it? Think about it. As much as you may or may not like this church, if you're coming to this church does not make you like Jesus, why do you do it? Why do you do it? Isn't coming to church about becoming like Jesus? Why do we learn about Jesus? Look at his lifestyle and his examples and things that he taught. Is it not to become like Jesus? Mense, dit gaan nie net oor versekering teen 'n brand nie. It's not just a little bit of fire insurance to ensure that you don't go to hell one day. That's not what Christianity is about. It's about becoming like Jesus. Ultimately, all the courses, all the studying, whatever. Why am I doing it if it's not to become like Jesus? If it's not to become like Jesus, it's just another religion. It's just some other social activity like all the other social activities out there. That's why it's important for us to bear this kind of fruit. Am I really growing and learning to love like Jesus did? Ask yourself that question. Myself? Yes. Am I really growing and learning to love like Jesus? What does Christian growth mean? Does it mean memorizing more scripture verses? You could say that because the scripture says we must become, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16, I believe it is. It says, rightly divide the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved, all of those things. That could be considered growth. But I think at the end of the day, you know, people have said this, and it's so simple, so profound, and it shouldn't become cliched. People won't care about how much you know till they know how much you care. Wat help dat jy kan na 'n persoon toe gaan en teksvers op teksvers quoteer uit verskillende vertalings, maar jy kan hulle nie lief hê nie. You can't make them feel loved. You can't make them feel valuable and worthwhile living. That, I believe, is key as a Christian, is to live your life in such a way that people are drawn to Jesus. Sometimes if you know too much, it might put some people off. They feel intimidated and threatened, but show them love. Different story. Show them love. It's a different story. This love is more than just love your neighbor as yourself. This kind of love is more than that kind of love. The growth of our love should look like this. Okay, so Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Our maatstaf om te bepaal of om te groei in liefde, word so te lyk. First of all, to learn to love yourself. I've yet to meet somebody that doesn't love themselves, and I don't mean in a vain way, but care for yourself, that is able to love and care for others. I've yet to meet somebody like that. You might be able to show courtesy and hospitality to somebody and a goeie gasheer wees, but if you don't love yourself, folks, you won't be able to love other people. I'm not talking about the kind of love, kiss me quick before I kiss myself. Not that kind of love. But saying, realize that who you are in Christ Jesus, learn to love yourself. So it should look like this. Love yourself, love your neighbor, and then Jesus says in John 13:34, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You see, because if I say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to love my neighbor as I love myself, how am I going to treat people if I don't love myself? So love your neighbor like you love yourself. If I don't care for myself, look after myself, see myself worth who I am in Christ Jesus, my love for my neighbor is not going to be too worthwhile, is it? He says, this new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So maklik gesê, maar so moeilik gedoen. Love one another like Jesus did. This phrase that's coming up in my mind, I've come to hear in the last 14 days or so. God and Jesus basically promised us two things. Wat was dit gewees? A vlieg. Maybe I'm standing still too much. I must move more. Like this. Not like that. Let's stay focused on the message. Hallelujah. Maybe the fly also wants to hear the gospel. Jesus said we must preach the gospel to all creatures. And what was I going to talk about now? The two things. There we go. The two things, basically, that Jesus has promised us. A salvation in which to look forward to and hope. And a cross to die on. That's how Jesus loved. A salvation, a hope to look forward to, and a cross to die on. And if you think about that, how much do we claim as ours as Christians? He's promised you this. A salvation, an eternal life to look forward to and hope for, and a cross on which to die. So Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. How did he love? How did he love? Dying for us. Are you willing to die for somebody else? Think carefully. Are you willing to die for somebody else? May I be brutally honest with you this morning? I have second, third, fourth thoughts about that. You see, I'll start to categorize it. Well, it depends who. Would I die for my wife? Would I be prepared to take a bullet for her, like they're busy breaking in or whatever, and he squirt a club? Well, I like hide behind her. Use her as a human shield. Think of, you think, okay, what? Hoe gaan jy optree as die druk op jou is? Ewe skielik. Dis 'n lewe en dood situasie. Hoe gaan jy dan regeer? Dan in daai instansie, nê, is die Jesus tipe liefde gevestig in my hart. Is dit deel van wie ek is of net kopkennis wat ek ander mense vertel so nou en dan op 'n Sondag van 'n kansel af? Of is dit deel van wie ek is? And you see, I think, you know, yeah, you could say it's great, you can die for somebody, but I believe it's a greater aspiration to live for somebody, to live out your faith. Because if you die for somebody, you've died, your time has come and gone, but if you, this kind of dying, jy lê jou lewe neer ten goede van jou medemens, laat ander mens deur jou lewenswyse kan baat. That I believe is the essence of Christianity. Living your life in such a way that others benefit. Because you die and then, okay, you've died. But living your life, I see, you know, you get various kinds of people. Some people just are just take. They only go to a place that they can get something. Go to a church that can get something. Go to get involved in organizations that they can get something. And then you get others that might not be at the most glamorous places or the best establishment, but they focus on giving. So that ons hier so is vir oggend. Waarop is ons dan gefokus? About just getting or receiving? You know? Is it about getting and receiving or about giving? And I think this fruitfulness thing can be summed up in this. This is how, and so you will be my disciples, it says in verse 8. You will be my disciples like this if you have this kind of love. If I let's just cut this a little bit closer to the bone. If I have to ask you, how do you recognize a Christian? What defines a Christian? Could you say it's somebody that knows Jesus? That's a Christian. Could you say it's somebody that goes to church? Could you say it's somebody that does charitable deeds? Somebody that sows their money into the kingdom of God? Wat is die kenmerk of eienskappe van 'n Christen? It's actually very, very simple. This is a bit of a trick question. Could you say it's somebody that follows Jesus? Could you? Okay. The crowds also followed Jesus and they crucified him. We're running out of options now, isn't it? The crowds also followed Jesus and they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So how do you identify a Christian? Are you ready? Okay. Come back next week and I will... Folks, this is so simple, yet so profound, and it's so few and far between in the body of Christ. It's sad to say that, but it's reality amongst folks that claim to be Christians. The characteristic of a Christian is somebody who lives like Jesus. That is it. I don't care what theological degree you have, you could be a professor of I don't know what. That is the definition I see in the Word of God and is taught by Jesus. That's a Christian. Is somebody who lives like Jesus. So this morning, if I have to ask you to put up your hand if you're a Christian, would you? Don't do it now. Would you? Are you living like Jesus? So what does it count? The grand scheme of dinge. Now that after the fat lady is saying and all the chips are down and everything has been said and done. So ek het so nou en dan op 'n Sondag vir mense gepreek. Wara, 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 wara. Did I live like Jesus? That's going to count at the end of the day. Did I live like Jesus? Did I live like Jesus? This whole thing about fruitfulness, we're homing closer and closer and closer and closer to the gist of it. And it is this. Do I live like Jesus? That's the new commandment. And it all starts by realizing how much we're loved by God. In verse 9 he says, as the Father loved me, I've also loved you. And then he says, abide in love. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. I'm God in the flesh. I'm God manifest. I'm God. I'm the God-man. I'm the God-man. And I love you. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in me. Abide in me. A constant awareness of God's love will help us through difficult times that are otherwise hard to understand. You see, if you've made a one-time, lasting, permanent, never-to-be-changed decision that God is for you and He has your best interests at heart, when, not if, when bad stuff happens to you, it will be easy for you to understand that scripture in Romans 8:28 that we quote so often. Romans 8:28 says, all things, come on, yes, like what she said, what they said. That's it. You see, how are you possibly going to believe that if you're not 100% convinced in your heart that God loves you? We'd be like, what? That doesn't work for me, Lord. Dit werk miskien vir sommiges, maar nie vir my nie. Alles werk nie ten goede vir my nie, because kyk wat gebeur in my lewe. Why? Because I haven't made a decision. And a lasting, permanent decision that God loves me. He has my best interests at heart always, ongeag wat met my gebeur. Imagine what it's like. You see, I submit to you that it's a lot easier for us here in the way church is in South Africa. It's a lot easier for us to say that than for Christians that are persecuted. For Christians that are persecuted, you get arrested for mentioning the name of Jesus. Bibles confiscated for you. Tortured, punishment, whipped, publicly beaten, stoned to death, set alight. Check it out on the internet. The videos that are out there of Christians being killed just because they're Christians. It's easy for us to say it the way we live here as Christians. But can we say all things work together for the good while the bullets are flying over our head and while you're dodging the stones? Running away from the people that want to catch you so that they can set you alight. Can we say, all things work together for the good? Yeah. Yo, people, I know, certainly speak for myself. I've got so much to learn when it comes to loving like Jesus. So, reminding ourselves of God's love will help us to understand when things go wrong in our lives. For example, when you're in that situation where you ask, why is this happening to me? Dan gaan ons deur ons checklist. Lord, I've prayed, I've repented, I've confessed. As far as I know, there's no known sin in my life. I'm testifying, I'm faithful with my finances. I'm regularly involved at church. I serve in various areas of church, etc. And bad stuff is still happening, one thing after the next. It's in times like those that I have to have made up my mind that God is for me and not against me. God is for me, He's not against me. Hallelujah. Okay, and remember, a constant awareness of God's love will help us understand and believe that verse. To those who are the called according to His purpose, the B part of Romans 8:28. And that purpose of God is to be like Jesus. Verse 9 says, abide in my love. Abiding in my love simply means to live in my love. How do you do that? Having an overwhelming awareness of God's love for us instead of being driven by the things that we feel we have to do for Him. Imagine if your relationship with God is always about, you wake up and the first thing you think about, I've got to do this for the Lord. I've got to do this for the Lord. Now in the beginning it might be okay. But if you set yourself high goals and you start to not achieve them, hoe gaan jy voel? Minderwaardig. Lord, I've promised you this and I'm still not doing it. Lord, I've said I'm going to stop doing that and you still do it. Lord, I promise you this time, if you just do this, Lord. So you stel hierdie doelwit vir jouself wat jy nie kan bereik nie en jy misluk keer op keer. Hoe gaan jy dan begin voel? Soos 'n mislukking. You're not going to feel Christian success or to feel a sense of well-being in yourself. So I submit to you that abiding in love must be because of an overwhelming awareness of God's love for you instead of a compulsion to do things for God. There's a huge difference, people. If your motivation for Christian service is based on performance, there's a misleading, because you're never going to, first of all, you're never going to be able to please everybody. So please stop trying. One of the things that kills pastors is trying to please everybody. It took me years to learn that. Then I realized, Mozzie, not everybody's going to like you. I don't have what everybody needs. If people find what they need in other churches, praise the Lord Jesus, laat hulle gaan. And I say that met die grootste liefde, because I don't have what everybody needs. This church does not have what everybody needs. But God still sends people here. I have no ambition to build a mega church, because I know nothing about church building anyway. Jesus said he'll build his church. He never said to me, Mozzie, build my church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hallelujah. I'm just so glad to be part of that building process. Yes, there's work to be done. The word is the seed, and we've got to water it and nurture it and cultivate it. And ons dink, hey, watering the crops. The example that Jesus gave, how was it done in those days? There is work involved. But you don't just go, as Paul so taught us, so eloquently taught us over the natural synchro. You know, mark a kraan open and spuit jy dit nat with these crop irrigation systems. Jy moes die water gaan soek. Jy moes die water gaan haal. Jy moes die water gedraai het. Jy moes die water soontoe gevat het. En dan die saad in die grond nat gegooi. It was hard work. There's hard work in it. But ultimately, We started off a couple of earlier verses in this. Jesus says, who's the vine dresser? You didn't get that. I'm going to start preaching from verse 1 again. Who's the vine dresser? He says, my Father's the vine dresser. He's the vine dresser. And it's like that with us. Abiding in my love, because he's the vine dresser. There is work involved. There is work involved. But that mustn't be the driving force behind what you do. Live, the abiding thing must be an overwhelming. Everybody say overwhelming. What is overwhelming in Afrikaans? Oorheersend, oorweldig. Oorweldigend. That must be the overwhelming thing in your life. That I'm abiding in Christ because of his overwhelming love for me. And then acts of service come from that. Abiding love, living in this kind of love. That's what it means. Instead of being driven to do things. Verse 10, it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It is as if Jesus is saying, I've just said, abide in my love, but now I'm going to teach you how. How do you abide in this love? By keeping my commandments. Abiding in his love by keeping his commandments. Verse 10 gives us the how-to of abiding in love. By keeping his commandments. And what are the commandments? It's from you can just write this down, Mark 12, verse 30 and 31, and then John 13, 34. We've looked at that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And a greater commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Therefore, love one another. Those are the commandments that Jesus is referring to. It's not when you have the Sabbath. It's not what you must wear when you go to church. It's not the order of service in a temple like was given to them. Very specific instructions, meticulous attention to detail. It's not those things. Is that important? Yes, for a spirit of excellence. And God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. Like, throw the chips up in the air and let's just see where they land. No, he's not that kind of God. But these are the commandments, this kind of love. That's how you abide in his love, by keeping these commandments. This is a strong commandment. Love one another like this, to help us, to protect us from our love growing cold. I'm going to close with this thought. Love growing cold. I once delivered a sermon and I called it that. Love grown cold. What does that mean? Think about people. It's sad, sad. Even for me, that I don't know how many couples I've married or whatever, you see, they start off, hulle so verlief op mekaar. They love each other so much, they can eat each other up. And then 6 months into the marriage, they're sorry that they didn't. En dan kyk ek terug, hy trou foto's, nee, hulle was so lief op mekaar. Wat gebeur dan? na 6 weke, 6 maande, 6 jaar, waar is sy liefde dan heen? What's happened? Love has grown cold. Think about how you started your walk with Jesus. It's like shooting star Christianity. It's fast and it's bright. And jy gesien hoe vinnig sien jy 'n what's a shooting star in Afrikaans? Skietster. Verskietende ster. Okay, that thing. 'N verskietende ster. Is jy sien hoe that kind of Christianity. No, man. No, long-term endurance. Blessed are they that endure till the end. Think about your love. How was your enthusiasm when you first started living for Jesus? It's like, you gaan deur hierdie honeymoon fase, né? And then the devil comes to steal the first thing from you that you've claimed to be yours from the scripture. You memorize the scripture, you believe it, settles in your head and in your heart, and the devil comes and says, okay, laat ek net bietjie van hierdie dan wegneem, van hierdie koningskind. Hoe lyk jou liefde dan? Hoe lyk jou liefde dan? And folks, this is the reality I shared in our care group. Well, I think even from the pulpit here, I said, I realized that my heart is in a dangerous place. I did a stock take on my heart. Hoe lyk my hart in terme van Jesus tipe liefde 'n jaar gelede? Hoe het dit 'n jaar gelede gelyk en hoe lyk dit nou? Have I grown in love? It was, my heart is stuff happening and people doing things. I'm like, yo, Lord, this is difficult, eh? This is difficult. A constant reminder of how desperately dependent on Jesus I am for this to be a reality in my life. Matthew 24 and 12. 24 and verse 12. Jesus said, he says, and because lawlessness will abound. Is dit 'n toepaslike beskrywing vir Suid-Afrika? Because lawlessness will abound. So is ons daar? Is it fair to say? Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. God protect us. God help us. If the church of Jesus Christ's love has grown cold, what is left? What is left? If your love has grown cold, folks, pack up, go home, become a Hindu. Become a jihad suicide bomber. Taliban. Seriously. You know why they do that? A lot of people's acts of service or what they do is based on fear of death. They do what they do because they love death. Most of us hold on to life and love life. They love death. Can we be like those Christian martyrs who love not their lives even unto death? Revelation 12 verse 10. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives even unto death. It's not nice preaching, eh? That's the kind of love. That's the kind of place we need to be at as the church of Jesus Christ. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Folks, this is a prophecy of Jesus that is being fulfilled as we speak. It's a prophecy of Jesus that is being fulfilled as we speak. Because lawlessness, you know what? Look what's happening in the world. Why must I even bother? Why must I even bother? Lord, why must we preach this? But it's coming to pass. And he says, if you keep my commandments, love is an action, not a feeling. If you keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments. Last scripture verse and then I'm done. I'd like us to sing again as we end that reckless love song. James chapter 2 and verse 26, the B part. It says, faith without works is dead also. And we've said this before. It's possible to serve without loving. James 2. Verse 26, the B part. It's possible to serve without loving, but it's impossible to love without serving. Love is not a feeling. You make a choice with your mind to love, yes, but love is an action. So as we take stock of our lives this morning, to recap what we looked at in the B part of verse 8, this abiding means to live like this, abiding with a constant reminder of his of his love. You will be my disciples, being recognized by this, having this kind of love. This is how you will be recognized as my disciples, by having this kind of love. And abiding in love means living with an overwhelming awareness of God's love for you instead of being driven by results. In verse 10, keeping Jesus' commandments will help us to abide in his love. It will help us to guard our hearts against our love growing cold because of the abundance of lawlessness in our lives. So as we sit here this morning and allow the Spirit of God to minister into your heart and to your love. This word, the words in this song speaks about God chasing you down, hunting you down. There's no mountain he won't climb up, no shadow he won't light up, no wall he won't kick down, and no lie he won't tear down to get to you and to show his love for you. He's the God who comes and seeks for the individual, the lost one, leaves the 99 who are on the straight and narrow and comes for the lost individual. Perhaps you feel like that in terms of your love this morning. Folks, you can't get to a place in your quiet time where you go on your knees and say, I'm going to love harder. Love. Love. Only God can do this work in your heart. There's no like on and off switch. You can make a decision. And if you're sincere in that decision, the Spirit of God, in the wisdom and grace of Jesus, will start to change you from the inside out. Start to change you from the inside out. Philippians 2 verse 13, it says, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do, according to your good pleasure. According to his good pleasure. Allow the Spirit of God to change your heart like this. I want to encourage you, when you start to live like this, your life will never, ever, ever be the same. It will forever be different when you love like this. And when you think of this song, as we sing these songs, Lord, the reckless love of God chases me down. It fights for me. Lord, before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life into me. The overwhelming, never-ending, endless love of God. That's the love that he has for you. Thank you for listening this morning. Soon we're going to be on our scooters going to Driehoek, to the high school, to join in the service today. If you don't know where it is, please follow us. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And God lift up his countenance over you and give you his peace. That's apostles all understanding. Let's worship the Lord together one more time. Thank you. Over to the deep end. Bless you.